Well, good evening, everyone. It's 6:30 according to the computer in front of me now, so I declare the meeting open, and I begin by acknowledging that we're on the traditional lands of the Kaurna people, and we respect their elders past and present. I'll let everyone know that the audio of the General Council meeting will be recorded and in due course will be made available on the City of Marion website. That is, of course, except for confidential matters which, under the Local Government Act, might be kept quiet for a while. I ask elected members whether they foresee any potential conflict of interest. Councillor Luscombe?
Just a material conflict of interest in relation to the item regarding the Department for Education. So I'll just step out the room for that one.
Due to employment?
I have a substantive position with the Department for Education.
I'm not being curious, it's just that I think just that level of particularity is sort of required. Councillor Hoffman, yes. Okay, another DEP education employee. It's fine. Then I continue. I will make a note, sorry for councillors, if anyone doesn't know, that because this is totally unexpected this would ever happen, but the batteries are running out on the microphones, I'm advised. And it is technology of a date that replacement batteries can't be readily found. So at the moment, one microphone is set up between every two councillors, and that still gives us a couple of spares in case somebody conks out, in case one of the microphones conks out during the meeting. So please bear with us. Now, in terms of the reports, would someone like to move that the reports be received and noted? Thank you, Councillor Masika. Seconded, Councillor Telfer. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. Thank you. And I've missed out the confirmation of the minutes of the last General Council meeting. So would someone like to, Councillor Crossland, seconded Councillor Hoffman, all those in favour, please raise your hand. Yes, that is everybody, unanimous, thank you. Now, we come to an item that we've seen before, page 23. You'll see we're talking about the FitzJames building at Glandor, and if you recall, late last year we gave staff the task of looking around to see if the two parties which had expressed interest, according to our open expression of interest, if they could somehow both be accommodated in the City of Marion. And so you'll see the recommendations on page 24. But first, does anyone have any questions? Councillor Crossland.
I suppose I'm just looking for a bit of reassurance that if, firstly, would Scouts even want Cumbria Court? That's probably the first question. And the second question is, are staff able to give an assurance that if Scouts is given the opportunity to lease Cumbria Court, there is absolutely zero chance of council having any costs at all to do any work on that building? Because we know we've got a report saying it's going to need a lot of money spending on it.
Mr. Collins.
Yes, through the chair. First of all, in relation to our Scouts interested in the building, they've certainly indicated they are interested in the building to the extent that they've actually had their own building inspection undertaken on the premises. In the recommendation that we've got there, we are looking at potentially council resolving that any costs required for the upgrades as a result of them using the building would be at their own expense.
So just to clarify, legally, as owners of the building, are we obliged to do anything if it's unsafe or anything, or can we put in a lease that we are not obliged to spend one cent on that building for any reason.
Through the chair, we can prior to entering into the agreement, we can make sure that it's outlined that a condition of them entering into the lease, they are responsible for all upgrades to the building, and it would be excluded from the Retail and Commercial Leases Act provisions as well.
Can I just follow on, Councillor? Yes, go ahead. I probably used up my three, but it's just a clarification. So if there's an event such as the roof blows off because it is an old building, we're obviously insured, but there's still the excess to pay. Who pays the excess on the insurance for that type of event, which is likely?
So just to clarify, if we were to enter into a standard community lease agreement with Scouts SA on this building, there would be potentially some costs for ongoing structural maintenance, so in accordance with the normal conditions of a community lease agreement, unless we were to look at going down a different type of agreement that specifically excluded all costs, which would be an unusual route to go.
So the resolution, looking at that option 3.2b, is clear that Scouts under that scenario would be responsible for any costs of capital upgrades. But, of course, our standard lease provides for the council to maintain, what can I say, routine things, usually outside the building as a general guide, painting it every number of years or whatever. Now, Councillor Telfer.
Given the standard of Byron Avenue, Clovelly Park, from where the gang show want to come to the current site, can staff cope with a number F, includes a special condition in any lease with Scouts SA that requires them to maintain the outside and inside of the building in a clean and tidy manner, and request that staff ensures compliance to that?
We haven't had a motion yet, so at the moment it's a suggestion which anyone moving a motion might take on board. I'll just briefly ask staff for comment.
Yes, through the chair, whilst our standard lease conditions and also our inspection processes would cover off on that anyway, there is absolutely no problem from our perspective having an additional special condition in there reinforcing that element.
Councillor Valescu, is that a question?
Yeah, just a couple of questions. First one is, why isn't this demolished already?
Mr. Collins?
Yes, through the chair, there has been a process we've had to undertake to actually get to the point of demolition. So that has included, first of all, getting consent from the minister, because as you can probably be aware, this building is constructed partly over lease land from the Department of Education. And also we are seeking consent of the minister for a change of use from community centre to open space. We have now received that. We've also, as a condition of the minister's consent, had to liaise with the kindergarten, and one of their conditions was that any demolition works would need to be undertaken during school holidays. We are actually at the point where we are about to engage contractors to commence that demolition process. So we're actually literally at the point we could start that process very, very quickly in the next school holidays.
So I'll ask councillors to see if someone wants to move a motion in a moment. I suppose it just raises the question that there's no, in that option three, there's not a specific time for Scouts SA to respond. So what if they drag on their response or negotiations for 3 or 6 months? Should there be, you know, an offer that stands for 1 month or whatever it might be?
Thank you. Through the Chair, in my discussions with Scouts SA, they have indicated that they're progressing this quite quickly. They have had a level of urgency as to getting onto site, bringing through a number of the Adelaide Gang Show members for them to work out the suitability of the building. And they have already conducted a building inspection on the property and are currently getting quotes. I think as part of this, we could put a time frame on as a condition, but from Scouts SA, they are moving with haste.
Well, to give councillors some comfort, for example, if people wanted to, where it's option 3, clause 2A, where it says offers Scouts SA the opportunity, that could be comma until the end of March, comma, or open until the end of March, comma. Sablescu, back to you.
Yeah, look, just a follow-up from Councillor Crossland's question. Are we aware of any sort of structural issues that may indicate we need to spend something significant in the next 5-year period?
Ms. Opie.
Thank you. Through the Chair, the building inspection, we do have a copy of it. They sent it through for us today. The two significant issues that have come up with the building is to do with the roof and also to do with black mould in the building. Currently, the quotes that they'll be receiving is to look at repairing both of those items as a priority. There are a number of other minor issues that did come up with the building, and we'd happily make the report available to members.
I suppose the point is that where it refers to all costs for any capital upgrades, those items are considered by staff to be capital upgrades?
Through the Chair, yes, we would consider them to be capital upgrades because they'd be associated with their use of the building, and we would make it clear that Council would only be endorsing proceeding with a lease based on them covering all of those costs, noting that we would still be required to come back to Council again following the discussions with Scouts with another report. So if Council were to go with option 3, we'd still be coming back to Council again in relation to this to proceed.
Very good. Councillor Hoffman.
Thank you. I'd like to move the motion, which is option 3, and that is to grant a lease to Huntington's Australia over Fitz James Building and offer Scouts SA a lease over 1 Cumbria Court, and including and capturing all of the discussion, including the end date as well. For Scouts SA. And I'd just like to say that I'm pleased for Huntington's Australia that this is concluding for them in the very near future.
Thank you. Is that seconded, Councillor Masika?
Yeah, thanks, Your Worship. I'd like to second the motion as printed on the screen and also on the paper. And I'm saying, look, I'll start by commending everyone who has been involved with this process. And also, I would like to commend the Huntington SA for their patience because this lease was supposed to be renewed September last year. And also commend the Scout SA for finding another place which they can still be accommodated within the city of Marion. And I think by taking option 3, it will resolve all matters in win-win situation. And I'm glad to see this option is on the table.
Were you holding your fire, were you?
I'm just supporting it. I just wanted to make sure that Councillor Masika said as written.
Yes. Councillor Masika has seconded the motion that you moved, which incorporated those other elements. Just clarification. Councillor Crossland?
Just to flag up, I will move an alternative motion to option 1 if this fails. And secondly, can we just confirm what rent that motion includes? Because it's either 7% or X, and I don't know which one that motion was.
I think it was 7%. But Councillor Hoffman, it's with you, really. Were you expecting the rental leaving aside the question of any capital upgrades, to be the standard rental arrangement that we have with most of our community groups? Very good, the standard rent. So that's clarified for you, Councillor Crossland. And you're saying that if the motion fails, you'll move the motion which grants the Fitzjames building to Huntington's in any case. Very well. This motion does that as well. Councillor Pryor.
Yeah, now that we have a motion, just a question about what we are actually going to put in the lease now, because we said before we can do this and we can do that. What clause is going to put in the lease? Are we going to put in the lease, and what protection does that give us against spending any money? Because it's clear to me that we don't want to spend any money on this place. So how are we protected?
So I think from the discussion earlier that council wouldn't be putting in any capital cost or expenditure towards the building. Once, well, if one assumes Scouts spend the necessary money and move in, unless it's decided otherwise, the standard lease conditions would apply. Usually there's a schedule at the back for minor expenditure, which is normally landlord expenditure, like might be is painting the building every number of years, for example. So that at the moment is what's on the table.
And so given we don't have those numbers, I don't know what the expectation is in terms of council spend on this building.
Well, perhaps we can just take that question. If we go back, can we look at figures for when the building was last occupied to get an idea of routine maintenance expenditure? Mr. Collins?
Through the chair, yes, we could look and see if we can find some historical routine maintenance expenditure on that building, and that we can put that in the report that comes back following discussions with Scouts. However, it will be slightly different being a leased building compared to being a council-operated building. So a council-operated building, we'd be responsible for all costs associated with the ongoing scheduled maintenance of that building. As a leased building, there's certain scheduled items that would fall within the responsibility of the tenant.
So, this is just, that does underline, this is not the final decision. This is to get a final proposal, effectively, from Scouts with approvals for us to say yes or no. So at the moment, I've got a motion that's been moved and seconded. Anyone, Councillor Telfer?
Can we confirm that it's for Cumbria Court just the 5 years?
The motion is for a 5-year lease.
Right, thank you.
Anyone speaking against, then I guess Councillor Crossland. So I beg your pardon, Councillor Telfer has raised a good point. There's in the report, there's an element in option 3, clause 2C, that needs to come out because we're not proceeding down the path of a lease longer than 5 years. And I believe that's up on the, what is up on the screen for us to read reflects that. So in other words, it is left as a 5-year lease. And I think that's what Councillor Hoffman intended. Yes? Councillor Crossland, you wanted to speak against?
I'll use my opportunity to speak. Yeah, look, I'm against this. Look, we've had many debate about Cumbria Court. I mean, people remember the reason we moved from there is because the building wasn't fit for purpose and the maintenance costs were going to be more than the building was actually worth, which is why we moved to Mitchell Park. I don't believe for one second that this lease won't involve a lot of staff time and ongoing issues. And I think we've already gone down the process of being able to demolish the building and return the area to open space. I think that's what we should do. And I think it's also worth noting that we've had repeated problems with Scouts SA at their other site, where they're not keeping the area tidy. The building that they have there is covered in graffiti, and we're imposing that on new residents, and I don't think that's fair either.
Anyone else speaking in favour of the motion? Councillor Vlescu.
Look, I think we do have another point where we can actually pull the plug on this one. So I would like to see what sort of lease is acceptable. And obviously that we're trying to minimise costs, because these are going to be extra costs we're incurring, quite possibly. So we want to minimise those, because otherwise we would just be demolishing it. So I guess I'd like to wait and see and not pull the plug on it straight away. Also having some of those frank discussions about the state of the site as well, and maybe staff can get a bit of a feel as to the sincerity of that site being looked after. But I think it is a little bit early for us to pull the plug on this, and at the end of the day, if it doesn't work, Huntington stay where they are, and Scouts will have to look at some other solutions.
And that does actually give rise to a question from the Chair. What's our latest figure on the cost of demolishing the building? Anyone?
Through the Chair, I don't have that current figure. That's being managed as a project in a separate team, so I don't have that figure at the moment.
We carry on. Is there, for those members of the public, we follow the format of speakers for and against. So now I ask if there's anyone else speaking against the motion. There isn't. So, Councillor Hoffman, if you want to make some final remarks, you're welcome.
This is really just to say, and as I reiterated before, that I think this has been a long time coming for Huntington's Australia. I think it's a good solution and a great venue. I know they're looking forward to using it in the way that they have in their own plans, and I look forward to seeing what they can do over the next 5 years. And I take all the points around Scouts SA and the building, in particular around Cumbria Court, and look forward to seeing that come back to Council.
Very well. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against, raise your hand. That is carried. So we look forward to the further report in relation to Scouts and Cumbria. I know we have some people from the Huntington's Association with us in the gallery, so please feel free to go unless you want to stay with us for the next 2.5 to 3 hours. And I'll just make a final comment in relation to the matter that although we've carried out an open, transparent, businesslike approach to the property, which is what we should do, anyone who's had anything to do with the association will feel a lot of compassion for those with the Huntington's condition and a lot of admiration for those who care for them. Right, we move on to the next item, which is a petition in relation to Duncan Avenue, Parkholme. It's on page 69. Now, looking to Councillor Vlescu, I thought you might have had some alternative wording that's been put up on the screen.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Yes, thank you. This is a traffic issue that's come up in the area. We haven't been approached as local councils in regards to this. Obviously, the petition has brought to staff's attention. They will be acting on it. It's probably a more efficient way to go through this in the award briefing situation, as we do have over 500 of these. So even if a quarter came to council, we'd be doing six a meeting for the whole year. So I just ask members to support the alternative motion that we acknowledge the petition, that note that a traffic investigation will take place in March, and subsequent reports and investigation actions be dealt with through the ward process, and also the head petitioners would be advised of the result.
Sorry, just clarifying, Councillor Vlescu, is that replacing the paragraph 2 that's there.
Yes, that's right.
Yes, very well. So that will go. So that's in order. Is that seconded, Councillor Crossland?
Yeah, I think that's a very common sense approach to make, and I thank Councillor Lescu for it. I also note that we seem to be getting the same investigation nearly every year, so I think the ward briefing is much more suitable.
Very well. Anyone against? Then all those in favour, please raise your hand. That's carried unanimously. Thank you. And I just want to make a point that I have raised the point with the Chief Executive about the fact that we have these literally many hundreds of requests for traffic investigations each year, and yet, I'm not sure exactly what the number is, but maybe a third, maybe a half, not much more than that, actually result in any change. So the question is it the community that has expectations that are unrealistic, or are we not communicating well enough to have all of these requests coming in that are not, in the opinion of the experts, worth taking up? I mean, it's an unresolved issue, but I just thought it's highly relevant to that motion, so for general information. Okay, we move on to page 78, and in fact there are two sets of committee minutes. Unless anyone has any questions first, they could be moved on block to accept those minutes. Councillor Pryor, thank you. Seconded Councillor Hoffman. No other comments, then I'll put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. Yes, that's carried unanimously. And so now we come to three confidential items. In each case, there's property and or funding and costs to be discussed, so there are good reasons for them to go into confidence. So those three cover reports could be moved on block. Thank you, Councillor Telfer, seconded Councillor Pryor. All those in favour, raise your hand. Right. So we'll go into confidence to discuss those three matters in relation to basketball stadium options, some property in Edwardstown and the Flinders Greenway. Just as an estimate to staff, it would be surprise to me if we were less than an hour in discussing these matters, and then we'll resume with other items on the agenda. So having said that, we'll turn to the basketball report, and I'll turn the microphone off, and we'll get into it.
I won't take too long. I just think, they've spent a year consulting on this, including with elected members. Councillor Hoffman and I went to the elected members' session last year with the other councils and engaged in a really valuable discussion on this document, and it's come out really well, I think. It covers all of the points that people raise, and I think we'll really, we know from our community that they're wanting a sustainable action plan from us around addressing climate change, and I think this does it. So I'd like to support that motion.
Thank you. Resilient South Regional Climate Action Plan. Is that seconded? Councillor Crossland, thank you. Anyone against? And I'll put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. Yes, that is carried unanimously. Thank you. So now we turn to the... Oh, yes. Cove Sports, certainly been in some email investigation of facts and figures behind the scenes. Who would like to... Well, first of all, any question? Would you like to kick off with a motion or any questions? Councillor Mates? Use your microphone if you wish.
So yes, I'd like to move an amendment to the original motion that was put out, and it's just to bring it forward.
Very good. We can see that on the screen. Thank you. Would you like to speak to the motion?
Sure.
Just asking staff to expand the size of that when they can. But you please go ahead and speak, Councillor Mates.
Yeah, so look, I'm just looking to bring this forward 1 year from 26, 27 to 25, 26. It's literally just bring it into our foresight and our vision sooner rather than later. We have an extra $900,000 that was not utilised in this within this project. We could have done a variation. We could have completed it now, but we didn't want to impact the season of the club. So I think it makes fair sense to both clubs at that facility that we just look at it again in two years' time. And I think in there I put it is also would be subject to the findings of the geotech report, which means that if the soil is deemed to be fair or reasonable, I suppose as per the recommendations, then we would still it would still come to council and we would still consider the findings of that report.
Very good. Is that seconded? Councillor Naismith, go ahead if you wish to speak.
Just briefly, yeah, I think it makes sense, especially because the courts don't seem to be lasting as long as their predicted life could have been if all conditions were ideal. So I think it's good to keep it on the radar sooner rather than later.
Anyone speaking against? Then I'll put the motion as it is. All those in favour, raise your hand. That is carried unanimously. Thank you. So now we turn to page 164, Youth Collective Committee. Been doing great work, of course. Sadly, I believe that a number of them are at the Pink concert tonight. Well, I'd love to be there with them, but, you know, here we are. Just one thing that I've been trying to encourage is to get away from the idea of council setting people's wages. So my suggestion, if any council is willing to pick this up, is for clause two to be endorses ongoing staff support for the YCC. And that way we leave it up to Mr. Harrison, as is his job, to allocate appropriate resources. Councillor Masika?
Yes, I completely agree with the point number two, and I think that would be that way, and I'm not able to support
that. And Councillor Crossland, seconding?
I agree also that these types of positions, once they've been tested, it's up to the CEO whether they continue or not and at what rate.
And sorry, I'm just a bit out of order, but I'm just going to go to Councillor Luscombe, who has been liaison person with the committee, might like to enthuse about them.
I'd love to enthuse about them, thank you. Through the chair. Yes, I think we've got some of them in the crowd today, and I just I feel very lucky to be able to be council liaison to the group. I always learn a lot, genuinely, from sitting with them and recognise my own blind spots and things. They're an exceptional group, highly representative of our council. I'd encourage members to come along to a meeting, and it's actually really inspiring. And Shannon, who is at the back there, is the fantastic lead, and I just love spending time with her. So I'm very invested in the YCC and fully support this motion as well and encourage others too.
Thank you. Anyone against? Then I'll put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. That is carried unanimously. Thank you. Now, we're getting to that time of the evening when we really have to make some hard decisions about what we deal with and what we don't. The Reconciliation Action Plan is next on the list, but I suggest that would not be a short discussion, and there are some other more time-sensitive matters. So it's I know we need to deal with it, it's dragged on, but I suspect we just need to skip over that in the agenda, and if we have time, we'll get back to it. I'll just press on with your leave and get on with the Oz Cycling proposal. That's on page 234. So this is one where people may have questions, I don't know. Certainly the history of the BMX track, what the ultimate cost now over, would it be over $8 million, $9 million, getting up around that mark?
$8 million
at least. Yeah. So now we're being asked to fund events there. Questions or motions? Councillor Pryor?
Question, thank you. Doesn't this sound like a thing that Tourism SA would do rather than the City of Marion?
Well, it does to me, but somebody, you might want to get something you might want to hear a management point of view about that. Mr. Hubbard, Manager City Property.
Through the Chair, thank you for the question. I believe Oz Cycling are actually approaching SATC for funding as well as council contributions. Does that answer the question?
And possibly others.
It certainly does answer the question. So they're approaching SATC, that's great. The next question is, we've just built lots of million dollar brand new facility. Why would we pay to have events there? Why would we not just let them pay us to have events there?
Mr. Hubbard?
Once again, through the Chair, I believe that it's a general approach from peak bodies that they run national championships and events and they actually ask for a hosting fee. A lot of these things are actually run in regional centres because they are willing to pay those fees to attract economic investment into their council regions.
It's probably comparable to the Tour Down Under. We've had that question before, that some famous cyclists will cycle through the city of Marion for a fee of $40,000 or $50,000 or whatever, so that Marion becomes famous and so on. Similar idea.
I mean, I don't want to start the debate early, but I reckon they probably want to use that facility myself, regardless of what we do or don't fund.
That is getting into debate. Was there a question, Councillor Telfer?
My question is, has the City of Marion ever made a commitment to fund these events after having built the BMX facility?
Any commitment, Mr. Hubbard?
I'm not aware of any commitment that's been made.
I've never heard of it, no. All right, no more questions. Would somebody like to move accordingly, Councillor Crossland?
All valid questions and all questions I've asked myself. Firstly, the question about the $75,000 for 2025, I don't think that's for tonight's meeting. I'm not putting that one forward until we've had more information, more discussions. But I think where we're at the moment, this event's already sort of tabled in, and we did build this facility to hold national competitions. And I know that the events are usually costing $75,000. I'm going to test the water and say, look, it would be embarrassing for the whole thing to fall down for want of funding to hold it there. And we did build it to attract these events. I wasn't aware that there was a fee to hold an event, but I think at this point, when we're talking about the economic potential for 5,000 people to come to the southern suburbs. And another point, yes, probably Onkaparinga will make more economic benefit. But these things don't know boundaries. But I'm going to put forward point one on that basis, that we just get this off the ground. We get Sam Willoughby, both clubs, they can have their day. They can showcase this fantastic facility, which has never really got the recognition that it deserves. And I'm hoping the City of Marion will also get some huge recognition and economic benefit, far more than the $15,000 it's going to cost.
Councillor Crossland, are you saying yes or no, or just leaving completely clauses 2 and 3?
I would like to just completely leave clauses 2 and 3.
Right, so they're just taken out.
I think they're a debate for another day.
Understood. I have a question arising from that contribution. I'm not sure if Mr. Hubbard or Mr. Lyons is best to answer it because it goes back in history. But the proposition that it was built to run national events and so on, the other history is that it was run to provide, it was built to provide a new home for the Cove and Happy Valley BMX clubs to get them away from residents. Now, staff comment, what is the history there?
I might be able to just answer some of that, and Mr. Lyons might be able to answer more, but yes, it was built to basically consolidate the two clubs into the one site. It freed up the Cove BMX to come to to be removed from the Cove Sports Complex, which has now enabled us to do the Lower Oval development as well. So yeah, it's consolidated the two clubs into that one facility, and it's been built to international standards, and we're about to work through the UCI accreditation process.
Is there anything to add?
Yeah, through the chair, I happened to tell someone in the chamber in the foyer a second ago that I've been here for 8 years, and during that time, it did start off as a local improvement for the local clubs, and it rapidly morphed into a UCI solution.
Right, is the motion seconded, Councillor Naismith? Go ahead.
Thank you. I feel, based on talking to staff as well, that to not put in this quite small amount to show good faith in Oz Cycling, that that might put potential much larger events at risk of us not being supportive of them. So I'm seconding the motion for the 15,000. And I don't know if it's like worth changing it, but how do we keep in that we will consider future proposals from them for co-funding?
Well, it's left open at the moment the way Councillor Crossland's moved the motion. Is there anyone speaking against? Councillor Luscombe?
Not speaking against, but just moving an amendment to add a second point that our report come back to Council to review the outcomes of the contribution and the event, which will help, I guess it will help to guide further decision-making.
I think the mover and the seconder would be happy for that report to come back. Good idea. With the leave of the meeting, the mover and the seconder have incorporated that into their motion. Now, is anyone speaking against or any other amendment? Councillor Valescu?
Yeah, look, I don't begrudge the money, I don't begrudge the organisation, but I feel like I've just bought a luxury car and the dealer has said to me, oh, it's an extra $500 for the key. Like, it just seems like we've built this for the facilities and now they're saying, well, you can't get these events unless you pay the extra money. And I'm not comfortable with that tactic. I just want to say that, like, I'm not comfortable with the way that this looks like it's been done. It wasn't something that we were aware would happen to us. And we invested a lot of money not only building it, but getting it to the level and then also fixing it. And it seems like we're just kind of this price gouging, I don't know what it is, it just feels like they're sort of strong-arming us, saying, well, if you want to use it and actually get return on investment, give us a little bit more. And I'm not comfortable with it. So maybe I've misinterpreted it. I'm not comfortable with how this has come up. But, you know, I don't begrudge the amount, I don't begrudge the organisation.
Anyone else speaking in favour of the motion? Councillor Masika.
I think so, Worship. I supported the motion because of. I know that we built up the facility. It costed a lot of money, and it was anticipation that the facility will be used without asking for more money from the city council or from the Barron Council. But when I read this one, all the cycling they've approached Barron Council in good faith, and for us, it's not a levy against the Barron Council. It's a good faith. They were asking good faith if we can support them. We can be part of the event. So $15,000 is quite sufficient. It's quite, you know, easy for the city of Barron to support it. Remember, it was 45, I think, and it's come down to 15. And, you know, in 2024, we can support them to event to go. But for the remaining part, it will come for discussion, and we can see how we can partner with the adjoining councils to continue supporting the event. So I quite agree and support the $15,000 to be given to the Oz Cycling to get up the event for 2024.
Thank you. Anyone else speaking against? Then I leave it to Councillor Taylor.
I'm not 100% comfortable with this as well. The fact is we've built a fantastic state-of-the-art place of where interstate, overseas, BMX riders can come and they can share in such a state-of-the-art facility, and we're still being asked to actually sponsor events. how, you know, when do we actually draw a line in the sand and say enough is enough, we've spent enough? Because are we actually setting something up for next year when they come to us again and ask for further money? That's the reason why I'm speaking against it.
Anyone else speaking in favour? Then, Councillor Crossland, would you like to close the debate?
Thank you. They're all great points, and I, to some degree, echo exactly what Councillor Valescu was saying. It came as a surprise to me. But just to be clear, this is not the clubs. The clubs have had no involvement in this. This is AusCycle coming to them to showcase the event and to put them on the map. If you like, this will be $15,000 of a media marketing budget. We're never going to get as much showcase for this facility for South Australia or for the city of Marion for 15 grand. It just isn't going to happen any other way. So on that type of supporting the sport, supporting the clubs, letting them showcase how great some of our young riders are to the world, I think is worth every cent. But I do say that with a great deal of caution about this becoming an ongoing funding, that it's not, it's a state event. I know the state sponsor people. I know state give extra money to drag people into South Australia. And I think that is still a state responsibility. But on this situation, it's been left a little bit last minute. And I don't want the embarrassment of us turning down such a major event for South Australia for 15,000. That's what it comes down to.
I'll put that to the vote. Those in favour, raise their hand. Those against, raise their hand. Carried by majority. Thank you. Now, the hour is almost up. May I suggest to you that we extend past 9:30 just to deal with some time-sensitive matters. They would be the Coonda Neighbourhood Centre acoustic treatment, not controversial. The statewide hazards bushfire overlaid code amendment. There's a submission that we might approve. The footpaths resolution amendment, which is really procedural. And potentially we could move the corporate reports for noting because there might be some questions, but I don't think that'll take very long. So would you like to extend the meeting on the basis we deal with those items? Councillor Valescu is moving that way. Seconded Councillor Masika. All those in favour? All those against? Carried by majority. So we'll deal with those matters. And may I suggest that all of them could be taken on block. The only one where there might be some question about anything, but we can do that. Councillor Telfer?
I'll move in block.
On block. Are they seconded on block? Councillor Lama, thank you. Did you wish to speak about any of the items?
I just say one sentence. It's about the acoustics. Normally a building has a natural acoustic, but in this case something's changed in the building, and I've been at awards where I can hardly hear the mayor for the reverberation. So I'm very pleased that the building's going to be sorted.
Councillor Lama, was there anything you wanted to add? It is an opportunity for people to ask questions about any of those items. I can say in relation to the, I think the only one where there's in any degree of surprise, let's put it that way, the statewide hazards bushfire overlay code amendment. It is simply that our staff have done some good work in thinking about what's come out of the Central Planning Agency, where they're proposing certain restrictions on building, etc., related to bushfires or bushfire risk, and it's really a matter of approving the submission that's there to go back in, and hopefully they'll see the sense of what we've submitted. But other than that, you've got the footpaths resolution is just to send it off to the committee for consideration. The community engagement report, we actually have seen it pretty well at a planning day. It's not a decision, it's just a note that many people responded, etc. The finance report, we usually get several of those in between budgets. Work health and safety, KPIs, which are mostly on track. So if there aren't any more questions, I'll put all of those matters on block. Then raise your hands if you are in favour. Those against, that is carried unanimously, actually, all of those matters. And so I declare the meeting closed. Thanks for your cooperation.
Well done.
We just missed... What have we missed? Three of them.